You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Time to talk sports with Michigan Radio Sports commentator John Eubank. We'll start on a couple of happy notes. Justin Verlander is going to start in Game 6 of the World Series tomorrow night, and they could wind up winning Houston the first championship. Great guy. What a game last night.
Another great game. This is being called potentially one of the all-time great World Series. Now, for that to happen, I hate to tell you, Verlander has to lose, and it's got to go Game 7.
Yeah.
You're never a classic World Series if it goes to Game 6. But he's been pitching extraordinarily well, even better than his Detroit days the last couple of years. And you know doggone well, no matter how much money you got, if you are a professional athlete, you want that ring, and he is that close, and it's now in his hands, which for a pitcher,
wow,
is only one out of four shots.
Well, so great guy. Yay for JV. And the Pistons knocked off defending champs Golden State 115-107. Surprising and sweet win?
Yeah, very surprising in some ways, and definitely a sweet win. It's regular season, I grant you. But I've always believed, and we've talked about it, Stan Van Gundy is a heck of a coach, and they're going the right direction.
Now, let's go to the sour notes. This is turning into...
So that was the good news, everybody.
Yeah, we're done with that. We're going to talk about the fall of discontent for Lions fans. It was starting as a promising season, turning sour, and that loss last night to the Steelers, third straight loss. What is up with a team that gets itself in the red zone five times last night and couldn't score a touchdown?
A bit surprising, actually, because Stafford is a hell of a quarterback.
Yeah.
You've got Golden Tate back. That's your go-to guy. And not one touchdown, five field goals. And Prater has got to be one of the best field goal kickers in the league. We've already established that. But I'm also surprised, too, because Pittsburgh does very poorly on the road, as does Roethlisberger. But he nails a 97-yard the whole way,
yes,
basically, his touchdown pass. So you play it against a championship team, basically.
How much of the sputtering season is on Jim Caldwell?
Tough call, because more so in the NFL than in college, it's a CEO program that he's in charge of the whole thing, but he does not make the calls on offense or defense. You can supersede, but those guys are pretty much autonomous. The players like the guy. I know that. The family loves the guy. He's very good with quarterbacks is what their reputation is. I see him as a glorified Brady Hoke, though. You see him during the game, and he's a deer in headlights. I don't see him making decisive decisions. His game management, which means the time element and so on, what to call when with the clock and whatnot, is not very good. And that was on display last night, sad to say, when they're down only 20-15. And your husband, I believe, was yelling at him.
Screaming at them. There was a lot of screaming last night, I will just say that, particularly when they went for a touchdown instead of the field goal that could have made all the difference and won them the game.
Exactly right. Two field goals, guess what, 6 points and you win. Mm-hmm. My basic take on this team is they're not going to be in the cellar with Stafford in this roster. And Bob Quinn, the new GM, is very bright from New England, but they're not going to win a Super Bowl title either. They're built to be a wild card team, and that's what they're going
to
be.
Over to the Spartans over the weekend, tough loss in the third overtime period against Northwestern. What went wrong, and how did Lewerke do as a quarterback?
I would say two things. One, Northwestern is notorious under Pat Fitzgerald of losing some games in September they shouldn't lose, and they did. Then they start picking teams off they shouldn't beat in October, and they did that too. So they're not a team you want to play this time of year. So they played a very good game, in fairness to the Spartans. The flip side is Brian Lewerke is their second leading rusher as a quarterback. He's not fast. He's just really smart and courageous and reads the play very well. He's got 14 touchdowns against only four interceptions. That's a very good ratio right there. However, in overtime, triple overtime in this case, he fumbles the snap. He goes around chasing it in the backfield. And instead of just throwing the ball away and eating it, he throws the ball into triple coverage down in the end zone. He panicked, basically, and paid for it, and the game is lost. That said, they are 6-2, the Spartans. You ask any Spartan fan in August about 6-2, they would have taken that readily, especially with a win yet again over Michigan.
There you go. Over to the Wolverines with a comfortable win over Rutgers and a big quarterback change. What do you think of redshirt freshman Brendan Peters out there replacing John O'Korn?
I think that's your new quarterback at Michigan. And Harbaugh essentially said that in the postgame press conference, which they never do. They always say, well, look at the film and see practice and compete. No, he said that's our guy, pretty much. So that is your guy going forward if you're a Michigan fan. He played extremely well. Now people all say, yeah, it's Rutgers. It was also Rutgers the first quarter and a half when on four possessions they could get one touchdown. He had one pick already, O'Korn did, and not going anywhere. So that was the same team, and Peters seems to be the future. He's also, as you said, a redshirt freshman, so he's got time to break in.
And people need to be patient. This is not the second coming, right?
People need to be patient. Yeah, good luck with that one right there. Yeah, yes, because they're known for that, the patience.
Yes, they are. All right, we need to turn to a story that, if true, is awfully disturbing. Michigan quarterback Wilton Spate fractured three vertebrae during that game against Purdue on September 23rd. And now his father, Bobby, is talking openly about how Purdue handled his son's injury.
Read the article by Angelique Shingalis at the Detroit News, which came out on Friday, I believe, on Purdue and medical care. When you first see the hit, look, it was after the play. It was could have been whistled for that. It was also targeting head-to-head. But you thought, okay, he strained his neck. Three cracked vertebrae, which no one knew at the time, obviously. No one even guessed this because he got up okay and walked off.
Took a little while, though.
It took a little while, but, you know, there he was. I cannot do it justice. Read the article, but basically horrible medical care from that point on. No x-ray machine anywhere near the locker.
They took him to the student health center?
And they were without a police escort. So you're waiting 45 minutes. This guy is sitting in a car in a traffic accident with three cracked vertebrae. If they get into a fender bender, he might be in serious trouble. So this thing could have gone really, really badly. As it was, it's pretty bad. Harbaugh, to his credit, in my opinion, spoke about this at the Monday press conference saying, we need higher standards in the Big Ten across the board. Didn't pick on Purdue as such, but pointed that out. And look, if you're – Wilton Spate's dad said it, and it hit home with me. If I am now looking at a college for my son's future, I am now asking them about medical care. I'm asking them about what kind of facilities they've got in the locker room and elsewhere, because if this happens – I want to know he's getting the best possible care. And at Michigan you do, and at Michigan State you do, and Purdue get in line and student health behind a kid with a cold.
And
it's crazy.
And get asked for your insurance card.
Insurance card. He's currently in a football uniform. Where exactly do you store your insurance card?
What struck me, too, is once they asked for an ambulance, and this is, again, all spelled out in the Detroit News story, it took about a half an hour for this volunteer rescue team to take him to a hospital, and they didn't want to turn on lights and siren. And he was starting to have tingling in his legs. He's in pain. And thank God for the U of M sports medicine fellow who was there,
right,
who just blew a gasket at them.
He did, and the driver said, don't get smart with me, as a direct quote. I was like, wait a second, that's not... My job is to look out for this kid.
Wow.
I have been on the sidelines. I have to say that stress this after the famous Shane Morris game and so on. I've been on the sidelines with those guys for three seasons, 08, 09, 2010. Dr. Bruce Miller, Dr. Carpenter, the training staff, who's first, you know, Len and Phil and so on, first rate, Paul Schmidt. I have never seen them ever have a conversation with a coach about a player. It is one-directional communication. When Tate Forcier, when Denard's got a concussion, he is out of the game, and we're telling you that he's out of the game. We're not discussing how bad it is or if he might get in. That is how it happens at Michigan, and I believe at Michigan State as well. What's happening at Purdue is unconscionable and will get changed.
What do we know about how Wilton Spate's doing now, recovering from these three cracked vertebrae?
Yeah, no kidding. Amazingly, he might be back this season is what they're saying. It's possible.
Okay.
I'm sure we'll get checked out five ways to Sunday.
Yeah.
So now you're on your third quarterback at Michigan, of course. So we'll see how Brendan Peters does. You're not playing for probably a Big Ten title, definitely not a national title. So there's not any kind of urgency that way. But he might be back. And if he is back, we'll see what happens there. But the main thing is get the kid healthy. I've seen Wilton Spate study in the basement of a store on Main Street every Sunday, by the way. He's got a serious student, a fine young man, and you hope he does very well.
Michigan Radio sports commentator John Eubank. As always, thanks, John.
Thank you, Cindy.